Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This year, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the blog, and there are a lot of exciting things in the works. From new music here on the podcast to a new look on the website, I can't wait to share everything with you. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by AMD, with a reminder about the Lenovo EDU community. Join this free platform to connect with education experts and watch inspiring, one-of-a-kind video content with your learners. Don't forget to check out some exclusive blog posts I put together for them. Head over to education.lenovo.com to sign up for free. That's education.lenovo.com. This week's episode is titled 150th Episode Celebration, Answering Listener Questions. And if you follow along on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, you might have seen me post about today's episode. I sent out a link to a special Google form to submit questions for today's episode. So we're going to jump in and I'll answer some questions, three listener questions, and I'm thinking of making this a more regular thing on the podcast. So instead of using a Google form to gather your questions next time, leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts and include your question in your review. I'll keep my eyes on the reviews and we'll try to incorporate the questions and answers into future episodes. First up, for our three questions, Melon from Hawaii asked, I wanted to ask you a question that I have been trying to research. I have a feeling that you may have covered this in one of your podcasts, but I cannot seem to find it. Our school's smart boards are about to be obsolete, although our elementary teachers are using them and love them. Do you have any podcasts or blog posts that talk about smart board alternatives? We are a one-to-one iPad school with Apple TVs and projectors in every room, so I know there must be options. Can you direct me? Thank you, first off, for your question. Now, I don't have anything specific on the blog or podcast to share with you, but there are a few ideas to consider in your move away from interactive whiteboards. So I've got three things that I'm going to suggest that you think about, Melon. And if you are listening in today and you're also wondering about whether or not you should invest in interactive whiteboards or what the transition away from using that type of hardware might look like, these three things might be worthy of your consideration. So first, depending on the type of smart board you have, you might find that these work well as projection screens if you're able to pair them with an Apple TV for your iPads. If you're looking to upgrade your display screens, though, there are a lot of great ones on the market now that have touch capability and much better lighting resolution than early models of interactive whiteboards. I'd suggest taking a look at offerings from a few vendors, including the folks at Smart or Prometheum, a few different places, just to get a feel for what is out there. So I'd suggest taking a look at what a couple people have to offer, just to get a sense of the market, even before thinking about comparison shopping. There are also some schools that have moved away from a big or larger screen and now have multiple smaller displays in classrooms. So you might find that that's a good option to consider if you're upgrading hardware, kind of shifting from a bigger to a smaller model. The second thing I'd like you to kind of think about here is that if you have smart board licenses, right, you've had these smart boards for a bit, I would definitely introduce Lumio to your teachers. So Lumio is free to sign up for and get started with, but it does have some limits in the free version. But if you have a smart board license, right, if you've used, say, Smart Notebook in the past, so that might be another thing to consider. It really increases your storage capacity, and you might find that it's also, you know, that their design and their emphasis on using pre-made content is a good fit for facilitating conversations with staff members that may be a bit reluctant to move away from smart boards entirely. And I'm not saying they should or they shouldn't, right? But having a conversation around how you're using interactive whiteboards is so important. And Lumio can also help with conversations on collaboration, formative assessments, and other best practices for interactive learning. So not a lot of people know about this one, and I just did a post in partnership with them on the blog in January. So I'll link to that in the show notes. It went up on January 20th. So all about Lumio and a collaborative learning tool. And there is a bonus episode of the podcast where I talked to one of their team members. It would have gone out just 2 days. I record these a little bit in advance. So this episode you should hear or should drop on the 15th of February, and the bonus episode with Lumio will go out on February 13th. So if today's Tuesday that you're listening to this, it would have been on Sunday. I already recorded that conversation with one of their team members, and it was just fantastic. We talked about Lumio, of course, but it was also a conversation on collaboration and best practices that you might bring into anything that you're talking about with your colleagues. The third thing I would consider here, in as it, you know, pertains to your question, is that since you are an iPad school or one-to-one school, you might find that using a tool that mirrors a teacher's screen on a student's device so they can view content more closely, that might be a good option. So just like Lumio is an interactive presentation tool, it's not the only one. Nearpod, Pear Deck would fall into this category, and they're not the only tools that allow this screen mirroring to happen, but I do love those three as ones that have interactive components built right in. If you're using Apple Classroom or something similar, you might have seen that type of functionality in action. So thank you so much, Melon, for this question. I'll add links to all of those resources I just mentioned to the show notes for this episode. And of course, if you head to my website, classtechtips.com, you tap on the podcast button and find the page for this episode, episode 150, of course, right? It's the 150th celebration. Then you'll be able to go straight to the show notes page too. Next up, second question for today's episode, Mariana from Italy asked, which free tools can you use to record students' voices? So glad you're interested in having students talk about their learning and using audio tools to help capture their thinking and share what they've learned. I have three tools to recommend you check out. You probably won't need to use all of them, right, in order to be successful, but these are three that I would suggest thinking about or taking a look at and seeing if they align with your specific needs for this activity or the specific reasons why you ask this question. First one is Mote. And Mote, M-O-T-E, is a fantastic tool that works in Google Docs, Forms, and Slides. I just met their team in real life at the FETC conference a few weeks ago at the end of January. And I have their Google Chrome extension installed in my browser right now. So it's a voice tool that allows you to use voice to answer responses in Google Forms or leave voice comments on Docs and Slides. And there's a free version of this tool, but I partnered with them last year and they created a special code to extend the trial that I'll include in the links for this episode in case you want to check it out. The second one is Book Creator. I've worked with their team at Book Creator for several years now, and I love the voice recording options built into their ebook tool. The voice recording options let you add a voice recording or narration to the page. And one thing that is extra special is that the voice recordings have transcripts that are automatically generated. So you can do this in the free version of Book Creator for any of the audio recordings you add to the page. You simply tap on a button and it will generate a transcript for you. The third one that can help with your voice question is Adobe Creative Cloud Express for Education. This is a tool that is free for schools, free for K-12 schools and districts, and includes a movie making tool. So Creative Cloud Express is the new and improved version of Adobe Spark, a tool I've loved for a long time, and I've also done some work with their team. You might know about my book with Adobe Spark activities. And the voice recordings in Creative Cloud Express are part of the option to make a movie. And this is great for short activities or longer ones. So if you haven't checked out the free stuff version of my website, I'll link to it in the show notes for today, or you could go to classtechtips.com and tap the free stuff and favorites button at the top. It includes a collection of movie making graphic organizers that you might want to use for this type of audio recording activity. Our third and final question came in from Maggie, who asked, "What 21st century skills do students need?" Now, the idea of 21st century skills is definitely a big one, and there are different schools of thought on this and what should be on the list of 21st century skills, but a few things I want you to consider as you tackle this idea. First, you might want to take a look at the ISTE standards. I love these for sparking conversations on how we want to prepare students to navigate in the digital world. If you have a copy of my book, EdTech Essentials, I have a free study guide. It's also on that free stuff page that helps you break down the 10 essentials that I talk about in the book. But if you're going to focus on just two 21st century skills, the two I would recommend starting with are creativity and adaptability. Creativity can mean a few different things here, right? Sharing student learning through creative products, using creativity muscles to solve problems, right? All of the skills that go along with creation of something also would count here too. This could include making multiple iterations or multiple drafts of creative products and even addressing the feedback loops that go along with creative products too. So the second skill I mentioned, adaptability, can include modeling for students how to jump around between different digital spaces, help them notice features like buttons that pop up across different tools or noticing the camera or the share button. So as new technology comes on the scene, adaptability and creativity will certainly be an important skill for students. So a big thank you to everyone who sent in questions to help celebrate the 150th episode of the podcast. I can't believe that March marks 3 years of the podcast and that today is the 150th Tuesday I've released a new episode. If you have an EdTech question in the future, I'm thinking of making this a more regular thing on the podcast, like answering a question you submit at the end of the podcast after we do our little roundup of first, then next, or first, next, then finally. So instead of using a Google form to gather your questions, just leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts. That will give you a space to type in your review and make sure I see it. And so if you include your question in the review, I'll keep my eyes there. I'll keep my eyes on those reviews and we'll try to incorporate these questions and answers into future episodes. So keep them coming. And if you're a member of my Easy EdTech Club, my membership site, you know we do a monthly video Q&A too, so club members, of course, can always submit their questions there. So let's finish up by making this EdTech easy, like we always do at the end of each episode. First, revisit tools you are already comfortable with. Next, look for ways to use voice recordings. Then, determine which EdTech essentials to focus on. And finally, consider the role of creativity and adaptability in your classroom. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast and looking for number 150. This episode is sponsored by AMD with a reminder about the Lenovo EDU community. This free platform lets you connect with education experts and find videos and articles on educational content. You can sign up for free at education.lenovo.com, and you'll even find some exclusive blog posts I put together for them too. That's education.lenovo.com. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment today and are feeling extra helpful, please leave a 5-star rating or a short review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. If you're listening on Spotify, the rating option is new this year. So if you haven't looked for it, you can find the stars right underneath the episode title and you can tap and leave a rating there as well. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.